Hi, I'm Allie Hilfiger.
And I'm Steve Hash.
And we're the hosts of Sit-In on Podcast One.
Join us as we travel around the world visiting creative people in their homes, studios, and the places they work to discuss their story, process, and basically everything in between.
We're sitting down with the biggest names in the world of fashion, art, and music, like Tommy Hilfiger, Gigi Hadid, Bryan Adams, Martin Lawrence Ballard, and Zanna Roberts.
Check out new episodes of Sit-In every week, exclusively on the Podcast One app, Apple Podcasts, or PodcastOne.com.
Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on the church. We're going to mend to get on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. Well, I like it when you, I go do the shows. I travel around.
How is that for you, doing the shows?
The one-man shows?
Yeah.
It's an interesting experience. Thank you. I was going to say I meet a lot of folks, you know, and the
is it
mothers
repeat
and daughters
customers?
And
I mean, you've been doing it for a while.
What happened was I started off doing stand up as a way to just keep the lights on over at the Corolla House because there was no podcast business and there's no such thing as a live podcast because there.
Because you invented it.
Yeah,
okay. It didn't exist at all before
well,
you
did. I'll sort of take credit for that. Yeah. It didn't really exist. And so you couldn't really book yourself in a comedy club or even a theater as a live podcast. You're like, what is that? So you'd have to go, it's Adam Carolla doing stand-up. So I just went and did my best impersonation of a stand-up comedian for a long time, a couple of years.
I know how you hate repeating stuff. Would you repeat stuff?
Eventually, when you're doing three shows a night at Cobb's or wherever, it's like you just go, like, I got to just do an act. You know, I got to start. And I'd mix things up and shuffle things up. But I did a lot of that. And then at a certain point, it became clear that people wanted the podcast, which is a weird thing, but more than happy to oblige because it's easier just to go up there. You don't have to repeat stuff, sort of wing it. And it's like people go like, isn't that hard? And it's like, well, if you can do it, you can do it. But if you can't do it, I imagine it's hard.
Yeah.
Like, maybe impossible. Mm. But if you can, and I can, I went and did it. And then I decided, I'd like to do a one-man show. Like an evening with Adam Carolla. You know, like a little more motivational, a little more storytelling, a little less stand-up, per se. Mm. And just sort of craft like a 90-minute one-man show. And so I did that, and that's what I've been doing. And it's satisfying, and it's kind of cool, and people like it, and it's different. And it just made me realize there are no rules anymore. It's like there used to be a bunch of rules about everything, and now there's just
Well, part of it is that live is back. People really like live entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
And so the range of what you can do live is sort of expanded all of a sudden. I mean, you got to remember, there was a time when you do vaudeville, which was a whole range of all kinds of stuff.
Well, but I don't think it's so much that live is back. I think it's always kind of been around. I think just like there's no Big Three network with a four-camera sitcoms anymore, there's just shows. Like, there's stuff on Amazon, stuff on Netflix, stuff on YouTube Red, you know, like, and what's the format? Oh, it's 18 minutes long, you know, and it's one camera, and it's like there's no soundtrack, and I mean, there's no laugh track, and there's no, and it's like, what is this?
Yeah.
And it's like, before,
there's rules.
There's rules, and things need to sort of land somewhere. Like, what do you want to do? I want to do a sitcom. Good. That's 22 minutes, and it's four cams. It's a live audience. And you'd go, how about 17 minutes and one camera, no live audience? And they go, no, it's this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Everything in life was just kind of, it's going to be this. Yeah. And now it's just whatever. It's like, there's Uber now. Before, it was like, look, either someone drops you off at the airport or you call a cab. It's like, no, now some stranger picks you up in their Honda. Because that's where we're at.
Yeah.
You've made a deal.
South Park was making fun of that this week. They were making fun of Netflix. And when you answer the phone at Netflix, they'd go,
green light.
Hello, you're green lit. What's your idea?
Yeah. Thank you. It's nice having Drew step on your joke for a change. Green lit. as you're going, hello.
I didn't mind.
He doesn't care.
He doesn't care.
Only you care.
I'm not the genius that you are.
Everyone should care. Everyone should care. The audience should care because it was a better version if you acted it out. But don't worry. Drew stepped on it. He's passive aggressive. So anyway, Drew.
Yeah.
Now they'll take any format as long the product's got to be there, but they're not worried about the in the past they'd go, oh sure, it was funny, but what are we going to do with it? Now it's like, oh, it's funny, then it's good enough.
Yeah,
or we like it. You can go out on stage and kind of do, you could pull up a chair and pull up a love scene, sit down and tell stories. It's the product's got to be there, but there is no real tight format. Yeah. And of course all the traditional stuff's still there too. If you just get up there and want to tell jokes.
That's right.
Tell jokes. People hang with you. So it's been kind of rewarding.
By the way, did you hear speaking of telling jokes, Jerry Seinfeld on Stern the other day?
I heard some of it.
Really got a sense of how significant his Asperger's is. I had no idea. He really is just like not like.
Well, you're telling me this before a little bit, but I don't know what. Well, a little bit. But,
I mean, like, he literally, like, during high school and stuff, it was just him and his television. He didn't understand why anybody would want anything else. Why would you interact with people? That's what they did, and me and my
probably
television.
Probably takes a little bit of that. It probably takes a little bit of that for that to achieve that level of greatness. Because otherwise, I realize I oftentimes think is pompous as this may sound.
Oh, well.
I don't like to talk about myself, but if you'll permit me for this 10 seconds.
Wow.
I could be or could have been a really great stand-up comedian who was mentioned in the breath of a lot of those people, but I never wanted to repeat myself. I never wanted to like sit down and work it out, the little club, and then go to the theater.
Do you think in terms of jokes?
I don't really think. Here's what I'm saying.
These guys think about jokes.
No, I do. If I have to. Look, I don't like to talk about myself, but now you force my hand.
I'm forcing it. But you like to talk about what's funny, that can take many forms.
I found out that for whatever reason, I was going to be freed up for about 2.5 weeks before Jimmy hosted the Oscars, and I started writing jokes.
Yeah.
Standard monologue jokes and intros and throws, and I started writing jokes to Jimmy and sending it in to him. And he basically said, I can't believe how good Adam was at writing jokes.
Yeah.
I never would do that. I wouldn't do it unless Jimmy was hosting the Oscars.
Right.
I should be asked to write on all those shows. I'm never asked, and I never think that way, and I never do it.
Yeah.
But when somebody said, you got 2 weeks, sit down and start writing jokes for Oscars, Jimmy was getting pages and pages of jokes, which he loved. Mm. And he said, I forgot how good Adam is at writing jokes, because I don't write jokes. It's not my forte. I'm not interested, per se, and so on and so forth. But what I'm saying is if I was interested, if I did focus, if I said, knock it off with all the podcasts and the motivational and the documentaries and the books, and I'm like, really just hunker down on this, I could have been one of the better ones.
When you were doing the stand-up, so to speak, or before the podcasting, were you focused then on that, or was it still pretty?
I was doing so much of it that I really didn't have to like do the – like most comedians will say, you have to go to the clubs, you have to work out. You have to work out. I remember hearing a comedian once, I mean, they were writing a book or they were just talking and they went like, I had to go do the Montreal Comedy Festival or something. And then they said, like, I hadn't done stand-up in 4 days, so I was completely out of sorts,
God.
And it's like, but it's like MMA or something. Yeah. It's like, if you're not doing it every day, all day, every day, and you just take 3 weeks off and walk into the cage, it's going to be tough.
I guess so.
And I would take months off and not do anything. I'd just kind of go, I got an idea. I'm going to go out there, which is part of just being a good athlete, so to speak.
Yeah.
But I never focused on it like I should have. And it's weird because I should have, because our society rewards those people more than they reward folks like me. But I still can't complain. Hmm. I never do.
Okay.
All right.
You never talk about yourself either. We talk about yourself.
I don't. But I mean, if you're going to put a gun to my head and force me into
force me.
Yeah, I'll talk about myself.
I talk about True Car,
but not for that long.
Shopping for a car, make sure you're getting real pricing on actual inventory. People can configure cars online only to find out that car is not available. It was a price made up by the website rather than actual inventory. But with TrueCar, it is real pricing on actual vehicles, actual inventory. Not pricing offered by TrueCar, but pricing from a TrueCar certified dealer. There have been over 3 million cars sold by the over 13,000 TrueCar certified dealers nationwide. And on average, TrueCar users can expect to save over $3,000 off MSRP, plus discounts you cannot find anywhere else. So get in there, go to TrueCar, visit TrueCar, look at the scattergram, see what people are paying in your area, lock in a price, you know you're getting a fair price, and get on that lot and see the car that you have actual inventory of, that vehicle that you've locked in the price for. So when you're ready to buy, visit TrueCar, whether it's new or used, visit TrueCar, see what other people are paying, and enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states.
All right. We got a poll out there. Our poll for the rub and tug. You and I always said, I think we come down in the same kind of place with this stuff, which has never really been into the rub and tug notion.
Somehow we got into this with a Bella Danger last week, right?
Yeah, and it feels a little rub and tugs to me. Not quite like liver, but I'm sort of like, meh. And then people go, well, how do you know? You haven't tried it. And I go,
I know what liver is.
I got it. And they go, and I'm a little bit confused when people go, oh, no, a liver omelet, chicken liver omelet at the deli is wonderful. You know, and I go, is it? And then I start to think that person's a little weird.
Yeah.
Like, why do you like chicken liver omelets? Yeah. Something's wrong with that guy. I don't think I can hang with him. This I get a little more than liver, but it still feels uncomfortable to me, and that's part of the problem. Like, it feels like I want to say something.
It's not the thing for a passionate dude.
Well, here's the thing, though, Drew.
Yeah.
You are a man of exquisite passion.
Yeah.
Yes?
Yeah.
Very passionate, yes?
Mm-hmm.
A man of fantastic...
Fantastic proportions.
It's unbridled as well. It cannot be contained. It will not take a form. It's just gelatinous passion. And God help anyone who attempts to tame it.
Amoeboid.
Yes.
Amoeboid passion.
It will be slimed like you've never seen before. You can't. I have super low sympathetic, whatever, and I don't have nearly your passionate drive.
Right.
I'm like, I like sex, but I don't have that, like,
engine.
No engine. Right. I have no engine.
No amoeba.
No amoeba. All right, so I got none of that.
No slime.
But so you and I are, I barely have a pulse. You're a man of exquisite passion.
You seem to like the masturbation a lot, though. It seemed to be your thing.
You know what? I can compartmentalize.
Yeah.
Let's put it this way. Why is it then with a man of exquisite passion like yourself and a man with a sort of tugboat libido,
slow
and steady wins the race? Yeah.
Was it about this?
What is it?
People, seems like a waste, like false, like something like, if you're going to do something illicit.
You said you're a man of exquisite passion. That's why it won't work for you. But I'm not, and it doesn't work for me either.
I bet we're sort of falling in the same zone. Like, you'd rather spend your time with yourself,
okay,
than bothering with somebody else, right? And for
I don't know why this noble stance I've taken on the rub and tug has to turn into some sort of slight against me and my masturbatorial.
It's not a slight
habits.
It's an endorsement.
Okay. All right. So the thumbs up on the rub and the stand on the rub and tug is basically you can be not a fan of them, like. It can be. Is there three categories or two?
There's fan. There's three. There's the first one right there.
Fan?
The fan of them. I'm a fan of the rub and tug.
No
fan
go.
Sorry.
So the question
a fan
was,
of them.
Where do you stand on rub and tugs? And,
right.
And here are the options. Fan of them. Nope. Too weird. Or would consider it.
So medium. It's yes. Medium. No.
All right. Okay. So I don't really feel like next time we probably need the would consider it sign, because that's just we're trying to get people that either like it or don't like it. I don't want to. I don't want to cannibalize the crowd. Going, well, maybe I'd try it. That's kind of a.
That's sort of a yes.
Well, when one are doing scientific studies as we are, next time, Gary, just go yes or no on the rub and tug. It'll be an easier.
Stop chastising, calibrate. Gary. Let's get to the data.
Okay. Well, it's just you would consider.
Well,
it is
what it is. It's going to be.
Well, who put? Don't put would consider it in there. Oh, and I was about.
Look.
I was holding my hand up, Gary.
Third. See it?
Okay. Moving on to the phones. Here we go. Here we go, Melissa. Okay, Melissa.
Yes, hi.
That you don't want a third, a third, a third. That's why you don't add thinking about it. Or might think about it. And Drew, and the reason I was holding my hand up, Gary, is because you and I were going to guess on this and actually do what we talk about doing all the time.
Good
and try to do something a little bit compelling or something. And then Gary throws it up and then you yell a third, a third, a third. And now we have Melissa, 34, from Austin. Hopefully we'll die soon and we can just get out of this place. Like, Gary, I'm holding my hand up. Don't
I'm sorry.
Drop.
I didn't see you.
Okay, but
I'm sorry.
How many times have we said, like, don't reveal it. We're going to do the... We should be taking bets, or I should be asking Drew. And now we can go back in time. What would you have thought the answer would have been, Drew?
I would have thought more nope.
Okay.
But then again, it is kind of more nope because the maybe is sort of yes. So, no. So it's, yeah.
Third. Okay. This could have right, next time, let's. Okay. Melissa, 34.
Hi.
Austin. And then Drew. You too. Don't scream out the thing for the folks. Okay. 34, Austin. Here we go. Let's get out of here. Melissa?
Hi.
Yeah.
Hi, nice to hear from you.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on?
Yeah, we just called. See how you're doing.
Yeah, I know, right? I have a question. I know you work with Sarah Abraham, and it seems like she's, like, really out there. I was wondering if she has histrionic personality disorder?
Look, I host a talk show where I see these girls for an hour once a year or twice a year, right? I don't sit down. I'm not their doctor. I don't do a formal.
I heard she was doing another video or something.
I don't do a formal evaluation.
She did a session as a cam girl.
Yeah.
Cam girl?
It's the cam girl. Now chicks just sit in their bedroom and live stream themselves masturbating or getting naked and dudes can pay them for it.
Certainly there does seem to be some characterological something going on, Melissa,
still
with
pull
her.
On that.
And she... And she once, during one of the reunions, sat down and went, I had an evaluation. I'm seeing a therapist, and I have a borderline personality disorder. And I go, interesting. I'm glad you're getting help. And then I talked to her last time, and she goes, where'd you get that idea? I don't have a borderline personality. So I don't know quite what she has. She has some personality stuff going on for sure. And why do you pick histrionic, and why do you know what histrionic is?
Well... To be perfectly honest, I saw it on the Lifetime Movie Network.
Okay. I had
read about it. I had looked it up and read about it, and
she
really seems to fit the bill for all of the characteristics.
If you read just about any of the Cluster B personalities, you'll see things that are very similar to people like Farrah. And so just read go look up Cluster B personality disorders and read all about all of them. And you'll see the differences are kind of subtle, and it takes quite a bit of evaluation to really differentiate one from the other. And, she's struggling and she's getting treatment, and hopefully she will get better. And those personality disorders do tend to get better as people get older.
All right. Let's talk to Eric, 29, Nova Scotia. Eric?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hey, good. Now. What's going on?
Just wanted to say, Adam, I've lost 42 pounds with the no sugar, no grains diet.
Right on.
Oh, good. Where were you at your height, your max?
I was at 241.
And what did you say, 30? So you're like 205 or something now, something like that?
No, I'm at about 199, like just 2 days ago, just weighed myself. First time I've been under 200 pounds, and I can't even remember.
Nice.
Big deal.
How's Nova Scotia?
Oh, it's great. I'm originally from Ontario, but I've been out here for about 5-6 years now.
What's your question?
So I started this diet, and a bunch of us started at work, and I noticed the ones of us who have succeeded with it treat it more, it's not based on consistency, or it's not based on perfection, it's more based on consistency. And I noticed the people who fail with it, you know, you go out one night for dinner for something, and then that sort of spirals. If that's on a Thursday, they sort of get out of hand, and that spirals into the next whole day, and the day after that, and the day after that.
Yeah.
And they go off the rails so easily. Yeah. And it's like, you can have one bad meal and just get right back on the train right after that, and you'll be fine. Or you can have one cookie or one dessert.
That's a very,
and I don't know how to convince people.
It's an interesting decision you made or what you're verbalizing, because I've given it a lot of thought. I've experienced it a lot. It's a kind of a maturity. It's a maturity. Like I used to say to Ray, who'd be like, I'm going to quit smoking on New Year's Eve, like stroke of midnight. And I'd say, what are you smoking now? It's like 30 cigarettes a day. I'd like, shoot for 20. Yeah. No. I want to do it right. I'd be like, how about you just knock it down to 20 then? You're smoking 30 now. Just knock it down to 20. It doesn't seem like a tall order. And he'd be like, no, I'm waiting. And it's like, and I've dealt with that. Like, I've had that happen. I've found myself with that. Like, when Sonny took a header, and next thing you know, I come home, and there's a big batch of homemade chocolate chip cookies just sitting on a tray on the counter. Of course, Sonny's in the hospital, and I just got this huge tray of chocolate chip cookies, and Lynette's out of town, and everyone's out of town, and I'm feeling a little out of sorts, yeah. And I was like staring at it. I was like, fuck it, I need a cookie. And I ate one, and then later on, whatever, for me, I ate dinner or something, and I brought three over to where I was sitting, and I sort of went like, hey, you could eat three, but yeah, and I ate two, and I put one back, and then I was sort of like, there's part of me, it's like, it's on, and there's another part of me, it doesn't have to be on just because you ate one. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It doesn't mean now you're going to be buried in an avalanche of chocolate chip cookies. You just ate a chocolate chip cookie. Right. As a matter of fact, if you just stop now, it's really no big deal.
Right.
So I made a care package up and I took it into the hospital to Sonny, but it was too many. So I took the rest of them and I put them on a tray. I left them on the tray, and I knew the maids were coming that day. And I wrote a note like, take, eat them up. You know, I was going to be gone. And I had to negotiate with it a little bit. And I ended up eating a few cookies, but I sort of didn't get into that it's on, you know, thing. Mm-hmm. So, and yes, tomorrow's a new day. And Vinny will tell you, you can cheat. You can have cheat days. Sunday can be your cheat
day. But there is a certain... And again, this is just different people are wired differently. There is a certain kind of momentum that gets going from carbohydrates, much like any other sort of yummy opioid.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And if you don't stop at the one cookie and you go to three or four, now it is on.
You know what the slipperiest slope is of all in the carb department? Mm. Came home to this the other day. I had to have Lynette chain me into the basement and yell when I scratching and screaming, don't let me out. They have the barbecued version of those round air pop. They're potato chips. They're just barbecue potato chips, but they're like the air popped ones, and they're just round and they're covered with barbecue, and they're so tangy and they're so good. Like, I get the vinegar and sea salt folks out there, but the barbecue and any barbecue chip is good, but the barbecue air pop round ones, so goddamn good. And they're really, you can't have three of those. You find yourself like going back and unfolding the thing. But I'm with you, Eric. And Drew, I really think, and I get there's a wiring involved too, but I really do think this is a maturity. Kids don't really have it.
No, like, yeah, that's for sure. But
kids don't have it is because kids aren't born mature.
Well, it's what we used to call discipline. Remember that word?
You know, Drew, wait a minute.
Dirty
that's
word.
Speak,
yeah, hate speech. Yeah.
Or is that racist? I can't figure it out. Oh, it's both. Both, right. So the people I know, mostly, who are the unsuccessful people I know, can't control this side of them.
Well, you know the famous marshmallow study, right, with the kids?
Yeah, but say it again.
It's a famous study they did where they videoed kids and they said, look, I'm going to leave. There's this marshmallow. You put a marshmallow in front of them. You go, I got to leave for a minute. I'll be back in a minute and a half. And do not eat that marshmallow.
Do they tell them how long they're going to be gone?
I think they do at some of those versions of it. They give them but kids don't really, they have good sense of time. I forget there's two marshmallows and they tell them they'll eat two or they, whatever it is, they get more if they can, if that marshmallow is still there when they get back. And the kids that are able to not eat the marshmallow and wait to get the second marshmallow, they studied them 20 years later. They all were doing exceedingly well. all had professions, stable families. The kids that just jammed the marshmallow in as soon as the researcher left the room, lots of trouble.
Oh, look, that's all there is. That's all you need. All the guys I hung out with in high school would have jammed the thing in before they were done explaining the rules, and that's it. And you know, the Jewish kids from up in the hills would have won. So I get two when you come back. I'll wait on it. Then. I should get two already. That's it. Okay, here we go. That's all you need to know. So, Eric, we're with you. Congratulations. And yeah, it's really kind of important to have that feeling of slipping and then sort of catching yourself and going,
I was gonna say,
it doesn't have to be an avalanche. And there's it can just be a slide.
There's always interesting ways that the kids work on controlling themselves. Some of them sing to themselves. Some of them walk around the room. Some of them can't look at the marshmallow. Other ones stare at it, study it, and you know. Right. And each one has their own sort of way of learning to contain this.
All right, Andrew.
Yeah, how's it going?
Good, man. Talk to Dr. Drew about your problem.
Yes, sir. I have a question. I was on benzodiazepines for about 6 years ago, or 6 years. Mm-hmm. I recently came off of them about 18 months ago, mm-hmm. and still having like. Kind of like I'll go like a few days and I'll feel fine and then it feels like I'm like back in withdrawal symptoms again.
Hmm.
Somebody was telling me it could be like a protracted withdrawal.
Well, it certainly is protracted withdrawal, but there's something called post-acute withdrawal, but usually that ends at 12 months. Were you on anything besides the benzodiazepine?
The only other medication I take is omeprazole for acid reflux.
But back in the day you weren't taking Zoloft or Prozac or something else.
I took Prozac for maybe 3 months, and I came off of that because I kind of had, like, weird, like, side effects.
Did you come off it the same time as you came off the benzodiazepines?
No, I came off that. So in the beginning, when I first started taking the benzos, I was on the benzos and the Prozac, okay. And then I came off of the Prozac within the first 3-4 months.
And at the end there, how much benzodiazepine were you taking?
I was taking about 1 to 1.5 milligrams of Ativan, lorazepam a day.
Okay.
And I cold turkeyed it. I was never like tapered off of it or anything like that.
Right. That which is, I think, the best way to go. But that's not that much, I got to tell you. And it'd be kind of weird to have 18 months of benzo withdrawal. I just wonder if something else is going on. Have you been back to see anybody to see what's up?
Yeah, they keep telling me, I guess, that it's anxiety. But, I mean, I'll go, like I said, I'll go like a few days and then like, I'll kind of just like feel like the symptoms of all came back.
Well, but anxiety, it's almost impossible to tell mild withdrawal from anxiety. I mean, they're the same thing. They're all anxiety at a certain point. And so you might talk to the doctor about using Neurontin. Neurontin is very good for post-acute withdrawal or protracted withdrawal and good for anxiety too. Just don't take big doses of it. Okay?
Okay. And is that like something that's addictive like the benzos or?
In high doses, there's concerns about it. Yeah. But in low doses, no. And it does work. Okay. It really does work pretty well. So Neurontin maybe what you might help you.
Thanks, Andrew.
All right.
Good luck,
man. Thank you.
Yeah.
And let me tell you guys about something. It's the Real Estate and Wealth Expo coming to Los Angeles for 2 days, November 4th and 5th at the LA Convention Center. Tony Robbins is going to be there. He's going to conduct a 3-hour sales and peak performance training seminar. Other guests include Magic Johnson, Sylvester Stallone, Susie Orman, and me. That's right. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be teaching a class how to make money doing podcasting. And then I'm going to go moderate, just me and Stallone, up on stage.
It's amazing. You ever been before?
Yeah, I have. Just recently, and I really was attracted to the guy. I mean, the guy's got such a motor. What energy. Plus, businessman, entrepreneur, and music superstar Pitbull is going to motivate you at the Genius Talk and perform live. Use the coupon code ADAM to get tickets that are usually $149, and you get this for $49. That's right. Tickets good for both days, by the way. The show's going to sell out. Always does. Why wouldn't it? You got Pitbull, you got Stallone, you got Magic, you got the Ace Man. Come on now. Give him a call, 800-554-7474, or go to realestatewealthexpo.com and use a coupon code, Adam. Save $100, and I'll see you there.
Don't you think it'd be interesting to talk to him?
I'm totally looking forward to it. I went to Maria Menounos's birthday party, and he just pulled up 10 minutes after I did and just sat down next to me, and we started talking boxing, and we both run deep in the boxing world. I know guys, you know, he doesn't, you know, once he hears I know who Ike Abeyabuchi is, he goes, well, that guy knows boxing.
Ike Abeyabuchi.
Ike Abeyabuchi. So we start talking, and then next thing you know, we start talking about Cobra and all his other great movies, and it was awesome. Yeah, there he is. There's
Ike
his back.
Abeyabuchi?
Yeah. The reason we always love it is on his trunks, it said God first, and he was incarcerated for abducting his nephew and running the car into it.
That's amazing when people find God. God must hang out
he
in
did
prison.
The, he did the move. He did this power move where you call the prostitute up to the hotel room, and then you don't pay her. And then when she complains, you beat her,
That was kind of his thing. He did that two or three times.
I'd like to do a little wife swap with Lynette and Mrs. Abeyabuchi. Abeyabuchi and stuff. I was like, listen, here's how I roll. How is it? I call ladies over to my hotel room when I'm traveling, right? Then what? Well, then I bang them. And then what? Well, I don't pay them. And then what? Oh, they want money. And then what? I beat on them. she wanted her money, so he beat on her. But anyway, God
four
first.
Times.
Wouldn't you say maybe God top five on your trunks? Like maybe not first at that point?
Maybe even top three, but...
Top three, but not number one. Not number one. All right, so there you go.
You better be thinking about God first. The fact the guy's still alive and not in prison, God's looking out for him.
I think he just got out. A lot of barricading himself into places and things like that. All right, put the screen back up, please, Gary. Anyway, Stallone will be thoroughly interrogated by me up
on
stage.
That's gonna be great.
I agree. You can check out the show live podcast Sunday, November 12th, Oxnard Levity Live. Doug Benson's going to be up with us. You can also check out me in Prager in Brooklyn on the 29th of November, King's Theater. And say hi to Lynette at Corolla Drinks and J. Joe over there as well. And get yourself some buck slips at Adam Corolla. Get the AdamCarolla.com. Get the merch there. What do you got, Drewski?
Go to DrDrew.com. Check out me and Rob Corddry. Me and Rob Corddry in the DrDrew podcast. Bunch of good pods there. Me and Spaz. Me and Bob Forrest. Me and Russell Brand and the Live Talk LA. And as well, the YouTube page and the Facebook page. Please show us a little love. We appreciate it.
So until next time, Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying, mahalo.